I thank all of you all for being here this morning. A little boy at 4 years old, that's all he does when he wakes up in the morning. He's singing. In the middle of the day, he's singing. He goes to sleep singing. And that's all he does. And he says, I can do what Patty does. And he would start asking me a long time ago to sing that song. And I said, nah, you're just a boy. You're just 4 years old, son. You got to wait. And then I kept hearing him in the house. I kept hearing him. I says, man, I think he's getting it. So we gave him his shot. How many know he did a great job? Amen. Amen. We still got a lot of feedback taking place right now. You might want to just lower my monitors, might take care of it. The book of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 5. If you're here for the very first time, we're a ministry that's just not local here, but we're all through the region. In seven areas within the region here, Chicago, Rockford, Minneapolis, all other parts, amen. But also we're a worldwide international ministry in over 33 countries. I want you to sense the culture that is here this morning, that we are a church that truly, truly helps the lost and the bound. We just don't show up on Sunday, but we show up with purpose in mind. To fulfill why Christ was born, why Christ died, amen, and rose again on the third day. He did that with purpose in mind for your life and my life, for our lives to have meaning, amen. So right around the corner, our rally start up, where we'll go into the north side, deep in the north side, where it's just a free-for-all out there. The enemy's just having a free-for-all. As well in the south side. And we start having rallies where 50, 70 of the church people go out there and we pass out flyers. We'll have food for them. We'll preach out there. We testify. And little by little, they just start coming out of the woodwork, so to speak. Broken. Because the true church, the true body of Christ, I always tell the church, is not this building, but it's you and I. We're a temple, we're a body that moves. We're not held down by a building. So that season's right around the corner. So as I'm preaching here this morning, just know that the Lord wants to use you. The Lord wants to use your life. And if you look around, we have every culture's here within our church. Most churches are 99.9 one color. But if you look around, it tells us there's a need in every color. There's a need in every part of the city. And God wants to use each and every one of us to fulfill the purpose that He has already placed within our lives. Amen? As we get into this Sunday, Easter morning's message, Matthew 28, verses 5 through 6. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus." Tell your neighbor, are you looking for Jesus? I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as He said, come and see the place where He lay. Father, we thank You. We love You. Give You all the glory and all the honor on this beautiful, special occasion where You would raise from the dead and conquer death. And I pray here this morning that every man, woman, and youth would know if You could conquer death, that everything else that we're going through is smaller than that. That You're able to do anything and everything here this beautiful Sunday morning. Have Your way, Holy Spirit. In Your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. This morning I want us to think about the promises of Easter. To think about the promises of Easter. It goes way beyond the little bunny rabbits and the eggs and all that. And by the way, rabbits do not lay eggs, amen? So you know that's not a truth, amen? Some of you adults said, wow, I never knew that. I've seen Easter so many times where I thought rabbits laid eggs. Some of you already gotten great revelation. You could leave, you can excuse yourself already. Easter Sunday, so much more than that. It's so much more than that. There's a resurrection power present here this morning to deal with anything and everything that might be confronting you right now. I want to speak on three promises of Easter. I want to pull on three promises of Easter this day. As we all just take our place, find our place, and if the movement can come down, amen. And we'll try to have you out of here as soon as possible. I want to speak on three promises of Easter. Each one is marked by something empty. Three promises of Easter, and each one is marked with something empty. The first one is the empty cross. Jesus is no longer on the cross. One promise I want to speak about this Sunday morning is the empty cross. The second promise that I want to speak about is the empty tomb. And the third promise of Easter, of Resurrection Sunday, is the empty burial clothes of Jesus. Three empty promises I'll be preaching about here this morning that are full of the power of God. It is the very fact that each of these is empty, that's the empty cross, empty tomb, and the empty burial clothes, that assures us that God's promises are real. We know that the promises of this world are empty. You can watch TV, all the advertisements of TV, and they'll say you can become happy or sexy. How many want to be sexy here this morning? They make promises that you can become rich. Promises that you can become famous. If you purchase a certain product. Empty promises always lead to an empty life. I'm speaking to the educated, the uneducated, the wealthy and the unwealthy, and all of us alike here this Sunday morning. How many have experienced empty promises that the world promises? How many of you have experienced empty promises that your husband might have gave you, that your wife might have gave you, your children, your boss? Empty promises always lead to an empty life. I'm speaking about the empty cross, the empty tomb, and the empty burial clothing of Jesus here this day to fulfill the promises of God. A lot of times we toss aside, I put here, the promises of God simply because we don't understand them. Or sometimes we toss aside the promises of God because we just can't really believe them. It's kind of hard to fathom and believe the promises of Jesus. I know when I first started reading the Bible, I want to give my testimony. You're looking at an ex-heroin addict of over 18 years ago. I OD'd 15 times, and I was raised in a good home in the country in South Texas. My dad was a principal, my mom was a counselor, and we were an upper-middle family being raised in a Catholic setting church. I was given everything as a young kid. I was in all sports, every sport. I didn't cuss, I didn't drink, I didn't sneak cigarettes out of the pack of smokes of my dad. But late in high school, I would try marijuana for the first time and fall in love with it. Before I knew it, I would fall in love with cocaine, heroin. Before I knew it, I would be pushing big drugs across the border of Mexico. Before I knew it, I would leave South Texas to move out with my sister. I was ODing over and over, stealing from my mom and dad, my brother and sisters. And that's when I would go to California and get introduced to heroin. And the cycle, the vicious cycle, would continue to take place until I was locked up in prison twice. I would do 7 years in prisons there in Northern and Southern California. But within the last year of doing time, again, this wasn't last week. This was over 18 years ago. Some of you are saying, wow, the pastor? Something would take place on that last year as I was doing time, minding my own business. Some of you came because of a family member, you're here, of a loved one, because it was Easter, you're here. I want to let you know that some of you didn't come looking for Jesus this morning. You're here just because. But I believe by the end of this preaching, you're going to find Jesus, and the place you're going to find him is in your heart. You're going to find Jesus. We're living in a time, in an end time, where we just can't go to church. I always tell the church, you can come to church all you want, don't make you a Christian. Just as much as you stand in the garage for 2 months, don't make you a car. Some of you think, am I a Christian? Am I a car? What is he saying? I'm going to be preaching about having a true relationship with the Lord. And you might be okay, but you might have a son or a daughter that's not okay. A cousin. A neighbor, a person that you work with that's not okay. We need to know Jesus here this Sunday. And I believe that that's what he would want from each and every one of us. To know that he's here for each and every one of us and that he wants to abide in our hearts, in our lives. A lot of times we toss aside the promises of God simply because we don't understand them, one, and two, because we don't believe them possible. In the world, give me 1 second here. Time out. Time out. Only in Victor Outreach, amen? Come over here, King. Come over here, please. Leave that like that. Stand back here. Amen. There's a preparation of water taking place right now. I know it had forecast had rain all this week, coming week, but it didn't have rain today. Hey, man, we were looking so good up to that point. I heard a little waterfall in the background. I could have just filled it up, but a lot of you would have complained that the water was too cold. So I'm trying to be a real sensitive pastor, making sure that the water is just right for you all to get baptized today. Everybody give the pastor a good clap offering for being sensitive this morning. And somebody will be getting corrected also after the service. Amen? Because when I'm sensitive all the way through. In the world, we're taught if it sounds too good to be true, it usually is. I want to let you know that I'm not the only one that the Lord has transformed. I'm not the only one. Sometimes we get used to going to church and never seeing nothing happening. Nobody ever getting changed. No miracles taking place. When the Bible says we serve the same God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. The same God. Keith, I want you to come up here right now because I want a little backup that the Lord just didn't move in my life. Amen? People are getting nervous because I'm looking for someone to call on right now. Who should we pick, Keith? Pick you. Let me see. Everybody was real straight, like that in the chair right now. And like a turtle. They have a bunch of... Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not blind, but Patty already gave her testimony. Amen. Come on, Sister Lydia. Then I'm going to get a guy from the rehab. Come on, Kyle. Thirty-second testimony. That's all it takes. 30 seconds. I got to turn this guy off.
30 seconds. Who you were, who you are today.
Good morning, Victory Outreach and visitors. My name is Brother Keith. I was probably one of the biggest crackheads you ever could have run across. I smoked crack for 20 years of my life. Started when I was 19. God reached out and touched me when I was 39, 6 years ago. I was getting ready to do some mischievous stuff, rob somebody, end up dead, whatever you want to call it. Something was about to take place. I happened to sit down on the porch, got ready to do my dirt, and as I made my mind up to do it, the front door of this place opened up. And thank God it was Victory Outreach, the men's home. I walked inside that home 6 years ago. Amen. Give God a hand clap of applause. I walked inside that home, gave my life to Christ, and I never looked back. You know, there's been some times where I've had to struggle and I've had to strain. And there's a song that says, I'm struggling and I'm straining, but I know I'm on my way home. I've learned to depend in God. I've learned to trust in God through prayer, through reaching out to Christ. In those times, I've learned that walking by faith is a tough thing. And there's going to be days when you're feeling good and you can walk by faith. It's easy to walk by faith. But there's going to also be those days that you can't see nothing. That you're walking and you seem like you're fumbling around in the dark and you don't understand what's going on. But those are the times that God is calling us to really trust in him and walk by faith and continue to go on. Today, I'm in prison ministry. I go to the mission once a month and I preach the word of Christ. I'm on the worship team. I'm a leader in the ministry and God is doing so much in my life. I thank him. I love him. And just God bless to anybody who's struggling and who's straining. Just keep your faith in Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That was a long 30 seconds. I want a short 30 seconds. Amen?
Amen.
Who you were, who you are.
My name is Brother Kyle. I came in the rehab home late September, early October. Basically, I started using heroin at 14, got full-blown into it at 16 years old, came from a family of money. They've sent me all over the country, in and out of the country to different rehab programs. This last summer, I just came back from a rehab program in Mexico, broken, lost, you know, turned to doctors for more medications that were not working for me because I was on methadone. Then I went on Xanax, walked into Victory Outreach, basically out of a hunch kind of thing that my cousin had ran into me and told me that I needed to do something different and gave me 2 months. Well, she's married to the alderman, so of course I listened to her and said, all right, I'll do it. 2 months. Here I am 7 months later, still in this program. So God has changed my life.
Amen. Hallelujah. A long 30 seconds, a short 30 seconds, and now I want a short 20 seconds.
Good morning. Happy Easter to everybody. I want to just let you know, I was an alcoholic. I've been saved for 18 years, been in ministry 18 years when the Lord touched me. And I'm so glad he's placed me here. And I'm just so blessed because he is making me grow faster and faster than I could ever imagine. When he says he'll give you all the blessings and that he'll open the doors of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you won't even be able to receive, well, he's doing that for me. And I just thank and praise God for where he has me. And I thank God for my salvation. I thank you that he brought me out of the pit of hell because that's where I was going. And I thank you for thanking for my life. So I pray that, you know, everybody's touched this morning because we all need the Lord in our lives. We all need him because we can't do it without him. We can't do it without him. I couldn't do it without him, and I can't do it without him now. So, praise God.
Amen. Y'all may have your seats. Amen. 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 As we get back into the message, I just want to let each and every one of y'all, the Lord is able to see you through whatever you're going through right now. The Lord is able to see you through. You just got to give him a chance and an opportunity, and he'll show himself faithful in your life. Once again, speaking on three promises of Easter: the empty cross, the empty tomb, and the empty burial clothes. A lot of times, I said, we throw aside the promises of God because we don't understand them. And we don't believe that it can really happen in our lives, that we can really be changed. That we've been going the wrong way for too long to even consider, to even think that Jesus can get us going in the right direction. So many of us have been taken in by empty promises and let down. And that makes it hard for us to trust and believe in God's promises. I'm originally from South Texas. Then I was in California for a good season there in the ministry of Victor Outreach. But when I came here to shepherd and pastor the beautiful city of Milwaukee, I have heard so many people say that they don't trust nobody. And I believe when we really think that strong, that it's even hard to trust in the Lord in doing something within your life and through your life. There's one here this morning that you can trust, and his name is Jesus. Let's go to the empty cross this morning. The cross empty of Jesus' body, but full of God's promises. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, the Bible reads, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Forgiveness of sins. His precious blood that was shed on the cross. The promises of the empty cross is that you and I, this beautiful Sunday morning, can stand or sit down forgiven. The power of the cross, the precious blood of Jesus, paid the price in full for each and every one of us to be forgiven, not only of our sins of the past, but of the present and of the future. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4 reads, "For what I received, I pass on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." These were Old Testament prophecies, Scriptures that would speak of his birth, that would speak of his death, that would speak on his resurrection. There were promises of God within the Old Testament, and they would come to pass by an empty cross, an empty tomb, and empty burial clothes of Jesus. Let's go this morning to the empty tomb. That the empty tomb represents Jesus conquering death. I'm going to share a quick story. There was a father with his young son driving in a car. And as they were driving, a bee got caught up in the car. Have you ever been driving down the freeway in the city and all of a sudden a bee or a fly or something, some animal comes in your car, amen? And some girls, they're driving, And you're trying to drive and trying to get a bee out of your car at the same time. Well, this young little boy was allergic to bee stings. He was allergic to bee stings. And when that bee came in, the son of this father went frantic in the car. He started to panic. And the father would grab the bee with his hand. And then the young boy was calm, but then the dad would let the bee go. And once again, the young boy, his son, would go into a panic all over again. And the father would open his palm and tell his sons, relax, relax, my son. And he would allow him to look at his palm and he says, you see that little black little thing right there? That's the bee stinger. That bee can't harm you no more. It can't sting you. The father had caught the bee in his hand, allowed the bee to sting him, and released the bee. So the father would tell the son, relax. That bee can't harm you no more. That bee can't sting you no more. First Corinthians 15:55. The Bible reads, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? And us being the sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, He's telling each and every one of us simply to relax here this Sunday morning. That He has taken the blow, the Son, His Son, Jesus, took the blow at the cross. His Son, Jesus, would show Doubting Thomas the palm of His hands where the nails were driven. It wasn't a bee sting. And I believe a lot of times we run frantic. And we don't know what to do in our lives. The enemy's attacking. Our sons or daughters are doing drugs. They're doing this. The marriage ain't looking too good. And our Heavenly Father is saying, relax here this morning. My son Jesus took care of it at the cross. He conquered death at the cross. Death has lost its sting. You see, once we don't fear death, I believe in opening up statements I said, everything else that we're going through is smaller than death. Every last one of us here this beautiful Sunday, Easter morning, whatever we might be going through is smaller than death itself. And here this father was able to comfort his son because he took the sting from the bee. He released the bee. And even though Jesus has taken death at the cross and conquered death at the cross, we still, at times, we're still frantic and we still panic and we still say, I don't know what to do. Because the enemy is still attacking, the bee is still alive. still flying around, but ain't got no stinger. The Bible says that the weaponry of the enemy has been stripping. He still lies to us on a daily basis. But Jesus has conquered the work of Satan, the work of sin at the cross. So we have an empty cross and an empty tomb. Death has been conquered. The third one I want to go through is the empty burial clothes. Let's go to the book of John, chapter 20, from 3 to 8. The Bible reads, so Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived and went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. Jesus was no longer on the cross, in the tomb, or in his burial clothes. Because he's alive, he has risen. These are promises. Though there were empty promises of the power of God here this morning, I believe it's time that we stop following empty promises that the world has to offer. Some of you are in relationships that are very empty relationships. And you know you shouldn't be in that relationship, but you continue to be in that relationship because you love her or you love him. And you're willing to put them before Jesus. Your children. Jesus is alive here this morning. The book of John, chapter 20, verse 18 reads, Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. John 20, 19 and 20. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. John chapter 20, 26 and 27. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. The first time he showed up, Thomas was somewhere else, amen? And Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, Peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, Put your finger here, see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Here the Lord would show himself, and even further in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Here Jesus was no longer on the cross, no longer in the tomb, no longer in his burial clothes, because he had risen from the dead, as Scripture said within the Old Testament. He would eat. He would walk with them. He would talk with them. He was alive. And I believe here this Sunday morning that Jesus also wants to have a personal relationship with you. This morning, the Lord desires, I put, to have a personal relationship with each one of us. I want the worship team to come up, please. Short service. It's time that we start believing, and not just believing, but holding on to the promises of the Lord. It's one thing to believe in the promises of the Lord, but when things get rough and things get hard, a lot of times we don't hold on to the promises of the Lord. The promises of the Lord are an anchor for us to hold on. No matter what you're going through, you can trust, you can believe in the promises of the Lord. And no matter how far-fetched they may seem to you, I want to let you know, after 18 years of walking and talking and being with the Lord, that they're not. Every last one of them are true. I really believe the Lord wants to minister here this Sunday resurrection service, that no matter what you're going through, the Lord is able to give you a breakthrough. And all he's asking is for you to trust in Him, for you to believe in Him. I testify to what He has done in my life. I OD'd 15 times. I was dead. I don't deserve to be alive. But the Bible reads that Jesus crossed me over from death unto life. He didn't just do it for me. He just didn't do it for Mary Madeline. He did it for the disciples as well. He did it for Keith. He did it for Kyle. He did it for Lydia. And I believe He's doing it right now. He wants to show Himself to the multitude, to each and every one of us here this morning, that He is real and that His promises are not empty promises. It's simply an empty cross, an empty tomb, and empty burial clothes. Jesus went through a process of obedience unto His Father. And we too must go through that same process. The Bible says for us to pick up our cross, to carry our cross, to deny self, and to follow Jesus. That calls for having a true, intimate relationship with the Lord, not just going to church. This morning, the Lord desires to have a personal relationship with each one of us, just like He had with His disciples on that very first Easter 2,000 years ago. Question: do you know Jesus? I don't mean do you know about Jesus. You could know who President Obama is, but you don't have a relationship with Him. You may know about Jesus, But do you know Jesus? Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." No matter what you've done, where you've been, will be saved. I want to have you stand here this beautiful Sunday morning.